What's up, everybody? It is Tuesday, November 24th. It's fucking Thanksgiving week, but we've got the family back together, okay? The OG, Gunther, is back. God, it's been a while, Gunth. What the fuck have you been doing? How are you doing?
First of all, thank you. I'm doing great. Been keeping really busy. Unfortunately, came down with the COVID, and that kind of started a spiral of events that's kept me away from the pod, you know. So I miss you guys. I'm glad to be back. In my downtime, you know, I've been working on a couple different ventures. So maybe you'll hear a plug a little bit later from some of the stuff that I've been doing. But yeah, man, just excited to dig back into the pod, and looks like we got some good topics for tonight.
I'm fucking stoked. John, how are you feeling over there?
I'm feeling good. Feeling good. Gunther, did you really have COVID?
Yeah, bro. I know I made fun of it for a really long time, but at one point I think I even said, you know, I just wish I could get this.
You did.
I could get it over with, you know.
I was about to chime in and say you had multiple times be like, I just want to get it done, quarantine, and then be a superhero with the antibodies, which
yeah,
sounds pretty fucking nice. Like I'm out here always worried about getting COVID. I wish I had the antibodies.
And yeah. Actually, hold on real quick for anyone that's listened to us and started listening to us, you know, past the month of April, everyone should know Gunther started off with a show with us around like the first 10 episodes. And then, yes, has taken a long hiatus and apparently has contracted COVID or did contract COVID. You're over it, thankfully. I mean, can you tell us about the diagnosis, the journey? Like, how hard did it hit you, right? It affects different people very differently.
Hey, also, can I chime in? Gunther, are you going to be chewing on ice in between conversations so we have to hear that shit going on? Or are you going to knock that shit off?
Well, I didn't know you heard that. You know, unfortunately, when you come back from COVID, you know, sometimes your throat's a little bit sore and you need that ice water, you know?
All right. What did you ask, John? You want to know what COVID's like?
Yeah, I mean, tell us about contracting it. Did you have to do contact tracing? How hard did it hit you? Like, I don't know. Just tell us about your journey.
Here's how it went down. A person in my house got it who's way younger. They were not affected. And the only reason they had to get tested was because they needed to be able to go to work at the gas station or whatever. So I ended up getting it from that person, and I didn't have any symptoms until like 3 days in. And then shit just blew up. Like, I couldn't breathe. It was pretty dramatic. So headaches, the whole smell and taste thing, definitely brutal. But I got, you know, kind of scared and was hospitalized for a while. So, unfortunately, once you go in for that, they don't just let you walk out the door when you're saying you feel fine now. Cause I felt fine 2 days after I went in, but had to stay in there until, you know, I wasn't going to infect the population and whatever. But, so that's where I'm at.
It's fucking wild because Gunther, I've talked to you like probably a dozen times, maybe even more than that. And not one fucking time have you mentioned this battle with COVID. Fascinating. Glad that you're back. Now, you said you were busy. You also had mentioned, and I know it's not ready to be unveiled on a widespread thing, but you're working on some new business endeavors. Anything you want to share?
Absolutely. Y'all get ready for Don Parody Apparel. That's coming out here in the next week and a half. And so it's kind of a niche focus where you can buy a tweet if you want to. So the idea is we'll be looking for trends on Twitter, people who we follow, who we like, who we think they're funny. We will retweet the t-shirt at their tweet, and then other people can jump in and buy it. And whoever we tweet at will have a t-shirt sent to them if they DM us back. So, you know, I'm guessing, you know, some of those people might pass, but, you know, I think it might catch on, kind of a cool idea, but probably just blew it by announcing it here. I can't really patent it, but we specialize in other things too. So I'll be dropping my website on the next podcast that we go through for Don Parody. And it just means sort of like the name. You don it like apparel, parody because we use it to make fun of all sorts of things. Like I have a t-shirt for the state of Iowa that has the Pornhub logo, but it says Cornhub instead, and then the state of Iowa in the background. So products like that, or like Dick's Plowing Service is always a good sponsor for a podcast. And so you'll see a shirt out there for that, you know, and some other things. So yeah excited about it, man.
Can you explain the Twitter aspect to me? Someone will tweet something, you'll retweet it, and then the t-shirt has the retweet on it, or what? I guess I don't get the tie-in.
The retweet will be a picture of the shirt, and then people can go and buy that tweet. When you get the shirt, it'll have the person's, what they call those, avatar, and then whatever it was that they said. So a lot of Donald Trump stuff, it just makes its own t-shirt, right?
I think what's most important here, John, and what you should be hearing, and that what I'm hearing, is Pancakes and Pandemics merch is going to be available before Christmas.
Oh, for that's sure.
That's what I just fucking heard.
For sure.
So, yeah. That's.
Yeah, I'm guessing you can get a P&P shirt. We'll have that on the site too. You'll be able to grab yourself that P&P shirt, that P&P hoodie if you want it. I think the hoodie will be about $35. The shirt will be $20 to $25. So, we'll definitely hook that up, and we'll let you know when they drop.
Is it parody like P-A-R-O-D-Y or parody like a parrot retweeting something P-A-R-O-T-T-Y?
Nah, it's parody like as in copying something else.
Okay.
Like parody.
Gotcha.
So, man, I am I'm real, fucking stoked. Now,
you guys did a real in-depth analysis of my endeavor here. So I never thought about it.
We're naturally curious. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, and it's pretty much the reason that you blew us off for 6 months. You almost died, and then you came up with this business. Last question. Since we'll be pimping your website, I'm just kind of throwing this out there. Maybe I'm making a large assumption, but me, John, and really maybe some of our core employees here at Pancakes and Pandemics, we can get some free apparel, I assume?
Yeah, definitely the employees. They'll get theirs for free. No.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. You heard it. It's a week and a half away, which is plenty of time for Christmas. So let's move on. Gunther, welcome back. We're excited to have you and excited about what's coming. We're going to get right into garbage facts, baby.
Best podcast, what we regarded as. P&P in this bitch, where the party at? We know some dope ass shit that be hard to match. So listen up, y'all. Here's some garbage facts. Let's go.
If this is your first time listening, first of all, shame on you. Second of all, this is where we give you a interesting fact. We started when our fans were like, hey, we keep making a ton of money off of your locks, which I'm not going to get into that over the last couple weeks, but we want to get smarter. Give us some facts. That's what we're here to do. John, you're going first. What's your garbage fact this week?
So in 2019, a 10-ton, 36-foot humpback whale was found dead in the Amazon rainforest, leaving wildlife experts baffled as to how it got there. It was found in the jungle undergrowth on the island of something called Marajo, which sits at the mouth of the Amazon River. Scientists presume that it was somehow hurled on shore during a storm that would somehow, I don't know, hurl a 10-ton whale. But they still don't understand how it came so far inland or why it was even swimming off the coast of the Amazon in the first place.
Right. That's it. Okay.
So you don't have in the rainforest. Yeah.
Yeah. But you don't have a fucking answer to the question. So your fact is,
it's
we
a
don't
fact.
Know how that.
It's a fact, but I can't withstand any follow-up questions.
Because yeah, I think I get the fact. The fact is there was a whale like helicopter dropped into the rainforest. I get it.
I mean, that is,
I don't, maybe, but again, who would want to go through that just to say, hey, I dumped a whale in the rainforest.
Do we want to make an unofficial rule that if you have a fact that you should be able to not have more questions come from the fact?
No, I think I like my open-ended fact.
All right. Gunther, where are you at? What do you got?
Yeah, man. I like this new segment you guys have, just random bullshit you learned. So actually, James Bond was a real dude, and I did not know this, but there was a British spy in the 60s that they sent to Warsaw, and this dude was a womanizer, and super sly, basically just interested to know that that was a real dude.
That is interesting. Okay, James Bond, real thing. All right. All right. I've got one as well. I'm going to talk a little bit about Florida, which is obviously a popular travel destination. But I do want to make you fully aware of the laws there. And I'm going to look at John on this one. Not only is cocaine illegal in Florida, but there is a law that prohibits farting in public after 6 p.m. So during the workday, you can rip ass while you're in line at the ice cream store. But if you're going out after 6 p.m. in Florida, you got to hold in the flatulence. And I don't, you know, I thought of this as well. I know you're probably asking, you know, behind every law, there's a story on how that law got created. I don't have the answer to how it got created, but I'd like to hear that story. I would like to hear how that came about.
I feel like in Miami, the cocaine rule gets broken more than the farting rule.
Probably right. I think that's probably fair. Yeah. Cocaine is actually illegal during all of the hours of the day. Farting in public is only illegal after 6 p.m. So yeah, I think you're fucking right, John. All right. Those are your garbage facts. Hope you enjoyed them. And now you're a lot smarter than you were before, I think. Recap. What do we found out? A whale got dropped in the Amazon. James Bond was real, and you can't fart after 6 o'clock.
Yeah. What I learned was that James Bond got high and launched a whale into the Amazon rainforest and then farted.
Tied it in together.
That's good.
I like it. All right, we got to talk a little bit about some sports. This was kind of a big week in the NBA, John. In Gunther, there was the NBA draft, NBA free agency. I believe it started on Friday, right? I think it was started on Friday, so all people have already signed. And John, I know the NBA never stopped, right? It ended. We had a champion, and then like a day passed, and they were like, "All right, let's get it fucking fired up again." What do you think? I don't know if you've been following the Heat's offseason. I know you have that cool hat that you've been talking about wearing. What do you think of the draft and everything else with the NBA?
Yeah, so my experience with the draft was watching it on mute at a bar on Thursday night, the day before restaurants were shut down here again. And what I noticed is there was a lot of crying, because it was all virtual, right? Like, so I think Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, was at like the ESPN studio, but then all of the actual players or potential players were at home or whomever, and they had to like Zoom the whole thing. And so I just noticed a lot of bawling. And my wife asked me, she's like, "Why are these players just constantly, they're just in tears?" I'm like, "Well, I think it's because the draft is typically in person. And so when you're in person, you're sitting at a table. Yeah, you maybe shed a tear or two. But then you don't have 15 or 20 seconds. You need to compose yourself because you need to walk up to the stage and dap up the commissioner with your jersey." So it gives you like a little bit of a slap to the face. I'm like, "All right, time to straighten up." And so anyways, that's my big draft takeaway. Lots of tears.
Yeah, interesting. I also think ESPN sort of hates when the players don't come from a troubled background. Do you feel that as well? Like they are always reporting about like some sort of fucked up upbringing about each player. And then they're disappointed when the player's like, you know, from a two-parent household and you know, didn't have to overcome anything.
It's just like, you're saying you can see palpable sadness on the ESPN anchors' faces if they come from a family that's above the poverty line.
Right, correct. They don't like that. There's not much of a story there. They're like, "Yeah, we got the five pick overall. Let's move to the next one." Not interested.
So I didn't get to see the first round, but can you please enlighten me? How did the Knicks fuck it up?
So, this is a real fucking article that I read about the Knicks, and this is the title of the article. So I follow the Knicks on a couple social media. I'm a Knicks fan, which is terrible. And the title of the article, this was a real article, was "The Knicks Almost Pulled Off Really Slick Series of Trades During the Draft."
Almost, huh?
almost pulled off a really slick series of trades. Obviously, I had to click it. And it was about some fucking weird trade that they made where they almost moved up three spots in the first and second round without giving up any players. And it was like, who gives a shit about this? The Knicks did draft the best player in college basketball. His name's Obi Toppin. But I did, you know, this draft was really kind of felt a lot like the 2013 draft where it was like, none of these guys are good. Like, nobody really knows who should go number one. When you have three guys that should go number one, you don't really have a guy that should go number one, is basically how I would say that.
Another takeaway I have, since I didn't really watch the first round, it was more the second round. I did see a guy got drafted named Precious. And and the ESPN folks, they were talking about how, oh, Precious this, Precious that. Oh, and his brother, God's Gift, used to play blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? Hold on a second. He has a brother named God's Gift, huh? Like, well, I think we can talk about that for a little bit, right? How do we stumble upon that?
That's
anyways, I guess he's from some type of Pentecostal Baptist preacher family, and they're very godlike and whatever. They want to name their kids crazy shit like that.
God's Gift. Gunter, did you watch any NBA stuff?
I did not. I do not watch sports when they're not actually playing. So I don't have a lot to contribute, but I do pay attention to what gets thrust at me.
Hey, so did you watch the NBA Finals this year with the Lakers?
Oh yeah, every moment of them. It's fantastic.
I brought up the 2013 draft, and just so you guys know, Anthony Bennett was the number one overall pick in 2013. You might go, "Who the fuck is that?" That's my point. Nobody knows. He was dog shit, as was a lot of that draft. But one player that was drafted middle of the first round, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Just fucking say his name, John. You can say
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Well done. So Giannis is a free agent. Free agency started on Friday. So if you guys watched the Lakers play, rumor has it Anthony Davis has not re-signed with the Lakers because they are trying to sign Giannis, and then Anthony Davis will restructure his contract so that they can fit LeBron, Giannis, and Anthony Davis under the salary cap.
I mean, say what?
Just don't even turn on your TV. There's not even a reason. I mean,
I texted my brother.
Give him the championship.
I texted my brother, like, I'm pretty sure me and him could fill out the starting five, and we're at least a playoff team. I mean, that is the MVP, the runner up for the MVP, and the
real
runner.
MVP.
It's ridiculous.
The only thing I cared about for the draft was that ball kid didn't go first, so that made me happy.
And Michael Jordan drafted him, which cracks me up.
Did he go in the first round, though, still?
Third overall pick to the Hornets. Yeah. My brother's a big Hornets fan, so he was Gunther, to your point, he was the same as you. He was like, please don't draft. Don't give me LaMelo Ball. And so he was super disappointed when LaMelo Ball went to the Hornets. But here's what I'll tell you is Michael Jordan is a businessman. More than he cares about winning. And he has done some really interesting things in Charlotte. But one thing that he has always done is made money. And there's no doubt of all the people in that draft, LaMelo Ball was the most famous and will sell the most jerseys than anybody else.
Whatever you have to say about that family, the dad, LaVar Ball, that's his name, right? LaVar?
Yeah.
He's produced, what, three NBA drafts out of his loins?
Like, that's amazing. He hasn't done shit since Reading Rainbow.
That's LeVar Burton.
Oh, my bad.
Jordy LaForge. You know what? Back to Michael Jordan being a fuck-up. Actually, you didn't say that, but I'm going to put it in your mouth. He did sign Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward, who turned down a $30 million play option with the Celtics, to sign like a four-year, $120 million deal with the Hornets. Past his prime, injury-prone. And I don't think Michael Jordan is good at this.
No, but Michael Jordan doesn't try to win. That's my point. Is he tries to be good enough so that people will come to the games and he makes money and he tries to draft people. By the way, he has an infatuation with Gordon Hayward. He actually signed Gordon Hayward. In the NBA, they have a rule where you can sign a guy, but if he's a restricted free agent, the original team can match the contract, and that happened with the Jazz. Michael Jordan signed Gordon Hayward, and then the Jazz matched the contract, and so he had to go back to Utah. But this is Gordon Hayward for Michael Jordan, some reason, loves that guy.
Gordon Hayward, though, great head of hair. Fantastic.
Yeah, really,
head of hair.
Just a generally good-looking man. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's enough NBA. Last thing I want to talk about, the Giants did not play this week, which helped them in the NFC East, because if you don't play, that means – other teams will lose. Now the NFC East is Eagles in first place at 3-6-1. Giants in second at 3-7, Redskins 3-7, Cowboys 3-7. Guys, does it get any better than the NFC East this year?
I believe it's the football team now, but no, it doesn't. It's a great division. I mean, with the Eagles' loss on Sunday, they still remain in a commanding lead of first place in that division.
Big tie. They had a big tie.
They had a huge tie. I talked about the tie. It's probably the most monumentous tie in all of sports. And mark my words, it's going to come down to that tie at the end of the year. Who gets in and who's out.
I also saw that Iowa Hawkeyes made the rankings this year. Gunther, do you watch the Hawks anymore? You watching any Hawkeye football?
Oh, yeah. I watch them. They've
been balling, though. They've been balling. Thanksgiving Day. And I want to talk what we're doing on Thanksgiving. But did you see the football games on Thanksgiving? They're pretty fucking gross.
Yeah, they're terrible. They're not aight. It's Houston at Detroit, the football team at Dallas, and then Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Yeah,
night game is good.
I mean, maybe. I don't know who the Ravens are. They don't seem to be that good. I only want to watch that one just because I do love to watch the Steelers offense, right? Like, they're genuinely good.
Well, they're good. I mean, they're really good. All right, what are y'all doing for Thanksgiving? Gunther, what are you doing?
I'm going to be eating quarantine turkey. I don't really have any plans, man.
So are you getting a super spreader event? Are you going to be around a bunch of people?
No, I am avoiding all people like a responsible citizen. I will not go to a gathering. Basically, I'm just using it as an excuse to not go do Thanksgiving, which is perfect.
This sounds really lonely. Is this a Hungry Man turkey we're talking about?
I mean, whatever's on sale, you know.
Oh,
Hungry Man turkey. John, you're not going back to Iowa?
No super spreader event for me, unfortunately. We're staying in Colorado, just immediate family, me, my wife, and my kids. We were going to invite some of Rachel's nurses over, her employees over that don't have family around here.
Yeah.
You know, because they were feeling kind of down about not being around family during the holidays. But for some reason, she decided to run that past her boss. And then her manager was like, no, you should not have people that are outside your family over. And so I guess that got squashed. I don't know why she brought that up to her manager. Probably because she just fucking can't keep anything to herself. But it's just going to be us. And for some reason, I brought two turkeys because I like to do a practice turkey and then the real turkey. And I'm going to have turkey in the freezer for sure.
You talk about practice. Talk about practice.
In here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. Listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Not a game.
Oh, definitely inserting Allen Iverson there. The going back to the turkey. So, yeah, you're going to, by the way, eat turkey for like a month. That's a ridiculous amount of fucking turkey.
I mean, we're going to have turkey pot pie, turkey stroganoff, turkey sandwiches, turkey pancakes. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever you can do. It's kind of like that Gunther, were you around when John bought a bunch of expiring yogurts but was too embarrassed at the checkout line when the lady said, hey, do you know that these are all on sale because they're about to expire? And John was too embarrassed to admit that he didn't know that. So he had like 40 yogurts that he had to eat.
40?
In like 3 days.
Why are you buying 40 yogurts?
I'm exaggerating.
That might be a slight embellishment, but I do believe I did hand out several free yogurts to people because I can't eat this in 2 days.
Well, I actually brought it up because I was like, John, why are you eating like a yogurt every hour? Because you were eating an immense amount of yogurts at your desk, and yogurt has a very like intense smell after you have like five or six of them.
Especially that Chobani Greek yogurt. That's the brand that it was. And that Chobani, it does have a distinct smell.
Ain't that just like cottage cheese or something?
Well, it's like looks like it. I don't know what you call it, like organic.
I've never had that fancy yogurt.
Greek. It's Greek yogurt, and then there's some fruit in it or whatever.
Yeah. Mm. Well, so going back to Thanksgiving, I went to a super spreader wedding. Which was very interesting. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about it, but half of the family was very concerned about. So these two, two families getting together to celebrate this couple's marriage. And it was only 25 people. So it wasn't like, it wasn't a big old wedding like I'm used to with my wife's family. They're an Irish family. So usually the weddings are just fucking ridiculous. But the other, the wife's family, very much masks all the time, you know, 6 feet apart. Bridget's family, my wife's family, zero fucks. You know,
kissing everyone, hugging.
Oh, yeah, let's hug it up. So it was a very, very interesting dynamics. I'm going to back to hang out with Bridget's family. And what I've gone ahead and done, I'm 5-0 since moving here in the family Thanksgiving football game. And so I sent a super obnoxious email to everybody in the family with a detailed playbook for the annual football game. Yeah, and I'm undefeated. I know how to use my personnel. And so somebody, Bridget's like, well, you're going to have Shannon on your team. Well, Shannon is pregnant. She's about 8 or 9 months pregnant. They're trying to give me her because she is a liability. But
she's going to give birth on the field.
Yeah. Called Shannon today. We have a play design where she pretends her water broke right after I say hike and everyone like starts freaking out. And Jackson, my 9-year-old, runs down the sideline, hit him for a wide open touchdown. So I already am going to use the pregnant lady as an advantage in the Thanksgiving family football game. I'm fucking excited. Thanksgiving can't get here fast enough for me.
I love that. That's some Little Giants shit, like drawing it up on a Super Nintendo on the sideline. That's fantastic.
I'm going.
Gunther, do you have anything to add here?
No. I'm
just an out of place. All right.
I don't like this.
Yeah, I was just listening to the what was happening there, and you know, there's been some shit go down since I left this podcast.
All right. Gunther, one of the last things Gunther did bring to the podcast was a segment called Gimme, Gimme or Nah. And so here we go. Gimme, Gimme or Nah. We've got Gunther. Holy shit, just joining. Morgan Freeman has just joined the podcast. We have Gunther, Morgan Freeman, John, and Dubs, a 4-deep Gimme, Gimme or Nah. We're going to start with the first topic, Gimme, Gimme or Nah, frying a turkey. And Morgan, since you're here and you just joined, we'll go to you first. Gimme, Gimme or Nah on frying a turkey.
Well, hello, gentlemen. And it has been quite some time since you've been able to have the grace of my presence. And I can tell you, without Gunther, I was not going to make an appearance. Just praying for the young man and, you know, more important things to think about than turkey. And with that, I'll take my turkey fried, but I won't do it myself. You see, I'll pay somebody to fry the nice turkey and cut me a slice whenever I want it for about 3 days straight.
Okay. All right. Good one. So I think that's a gimme gimme for Morgan. John, where are you going on frying a turkey?
I'm gimme gimme. I ordered a turkey fryer this year. I'm trying it for the first time. It just came in today. I need to go assemble the thing. I hate putting things together, but I had to assemble it. And then, yeah, I've had my birds defrosting in the refrigerator since Saturday. And so I'm going to either end Thanksgiving with my house on fire or the most delightful and moist bird anyone has ever had in their mouths outside of someone sucking on Big Bird's genitalia. And there is no in between.
Hold on. Are you frying both turkeys?
I will. Yeah, I'm going to do one. I'm going to do my practice turkey on what's tomorrow, Wednesday? I'll do my practice turkey early Thursday then because I still have to brine it. I have to brine it starting tomorrow. And then I'll do the real turkey for like early afternoon. I think I'm doing like a Cajun rub. I'm going to do like a Cajun rub on the outside and then inject it with like butter and seasonings and shit. And I don't know. It might be awesome. Might be terrible.
Sounds risky for sure.
Can't wait.
Yeah, Gunther, gimme or nah, frying a turkey.
Nah, man. I'm out on that. I like them roasted.
Roast
them birds.
Yeah. All right. Well, I so I've spent a lot of time this week actually watching strangers on Facebook accidentally blow up their fryer during Thanksgiving. And for that reason alone, I'm going to go gimme, gimme. I think I'm all about unexpected explosions. And I'm also, you know, I'm from Iowa. Fry turkeys, fry ice cream, fry ranch dressing if you could. Fry it all. Gimme, gimme on frying a turkey.
I've seen those videos, and their big mistake is that they don't let it defrost completely. They put it in, and it's still like somewhat frozen. So it's got these apparently ice and piping hot oil do not mix, and that's what creates the huge flare ups.
Okay, so you think you're going to avoid that for both turkeys?
You know what? Fingers crossed, boys.
All right. That's part of why we brought you in, Gunther. There's a chance John's not with us next week. So we need you some bench strength here on the podcast. All right. Next, gimme, gimme or nah. We're going to fat lady. That sounds mean to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. Fat lady cleavage. Morgan, I want to hear what you have to say. Fat lady. You've seen some fat ladies in your time. What do you think of fat lady cleavage?
Well, there ain't nothing wrong with a little bit of warmth in that crevice, and I'm gonna say gimme, gimme, gimme.
Three gimmies!
Three gimmies. Morgan.
Yeah, that is more gimmies than you even needed to give. Great. John, where are you going?
Yeah, I'm gimme, gimme. I love them titties. It no matter if it's boobs on a skinny person, in-between person, or a fatty bo baddie, if you're showing cleavage, I'm gonna be looking at it. Even if it's your 80-year-old grandmother popping out a floppy, veiny, dried up former milk sack, I'm going to sneak a peek at that titty.
Oh, man. Gunther, take it away. Take it away.
I mean, first of all, it's unkind the way you presented this whole thing, but I can't, you know, go against the grain. With Morgan on board, I feel like it makes it okay. I'd just be lying if I said I wasn't looking at it. Gimme, gimme.
Gimme, gimme. All right. I was at the grocery store last week. I saw a larger lady, you know, kind of having her titties hang out, and I couldn't look away. I love it. It's come to my attention that I love cleavage. Big ladies, little ladies, break out the titties. I'll take a peek. 4 for 4. Gimme, gimme on some fat lady cleavage. All right. Next one. Gimme, gimme or nah, jumping in leaf piles. Interested where you're going on this, Morgan.
Well, there was a time in my youth that I jumped in a leaf pile. When I came out the other side, I had an immediate diagnosis of Lyme disease, and it has affected me ever since. So I don't recommend jumping in the innocent leaf pile, because it is not so innocent after all.
I like that you said you're coming out the other side.
The other side, yeah.
Like it's a portal. Oh, great. John,
I know, it's not the Indian in the cupboard or something. Anyways, or what is it? The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Hey, whatever. Anyways, yes, leaf piles. Nah, I'm nah. Not because of Lyme disease, but because I have like a weird fear that there could be a jagged, pointy rake in it. Even though, while it doesn't make sense for said rake to be at the bottom of a leaf pile, after using that rake to make the pile of leaves, my mind still goes there and will not allow me to physically jump into the pile of leaves because of this weird nonsense fear that I have that there could be a rake down there.
Now,
it could also be covering a bear trap, and so you have to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan would know. I was curious, did you, as a child, did you jump in leaf piles?
No. They're dirty, they're musty, they're dusty.
So not even as a child you didn't enjoy it.
What about John, if there was a big titted fatty in the leaf pile, would you join?
Oh, I'd break my neck from swan diving into the ground. Yes.
Gunther, what are you doing? Give me your nah on leaf piles.
I'm playing in the leaves. And then when I'm done, I'm going to light them on fire. Gimme, gimme.
All right. Yeah, so I was asking that question, John, because when I was little, I loved leaf piles. I would make a huge pile, jump in it like a stack of pillows. So my kids recently were like, hey, Dad, let's do a leaf pile. And I was like, I went back to my youth. I was like, absolutely, I'll fucking make that for you. So I made this leaf pile. They were jumping in it, having a great time. I was putting it back to, and I said, you know what? I'm not too old to jump in a fucking leaf pile. And I jumped in, and holy shit, it felt like I landed on a thing of rocks. I mean, my body, it was fucking painful. And I don't know if I'm too fat or too old or a combination of both, but do not jump in leaf piles at age 35. All right, next one. Gimme or nah, Christmas decor before Thanksgiving. Morgan, what are you doing at your house? Christmas decor before Thanksgiving?
Well, not before Thanksgiving, but the ornaments will go up on Thanksgiving evening. So that's sort of an activity we've done for some time. I will have everything hung and be looking forward to the arrival of our Lord and Savior a month later.
All right. Good. Okay. Good tradition. Like to hear that, Morgan. John, what are you doing? Give me or not.
I'm nah. There are people in my neighborhood that the second Halloween was over, they're already up on ladders, nailing up Christmas lights, overachieving asshats. I went over to Chaz's house today to like bring in packages he ordered since he's currently at a Thanksgiving super spreader event in Nebraska. And Christmas had projectile vomited already over the inside and the outside of his house. And no, I can't stand it. Let's get through Thanksgiving, then I'll think about Christmas. I spit upon people that that decorate Christmas before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I actually thought of Chaz when I wrote down this topic and how he's probably yelling at his phone or whatever he listened to podcasts on, which you can listen to podcasts on Apple, Spotify, really any podcast
source. iHeartRadio, anywhere that hosts your favorite podcast.
Yeah, and you can rate our podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can review the podcast. So Chaz, I think, does all those things, but he's going to be very passionate about this topic. Mm-hmm. And he's not on the podcast, so fuck you, Chaz. Gunther, give me or nah, Christmas decor before Thanksgiving.
Nah, I'm going to go full Jehovah's Witness on this and just say no decorations at all.
Ooh, all right. So Morgan's left alone there. Gimmeing. So for me, I'm going to go nah. I'm going to go hard nah, actually. I wish everyone would just chill the fuck out and let's ease into this thing. We got a long month ahead of us. Plenty of time after Thanksgiving to get things going. And I also specifically want to fuck putting lights up. Fuck that. Little bonus garbage fact for you guys. Over the last 10 years, there's been 134,281 emergency visits related to Christmas decoration injuries. So people keep saying, every email that I've sent this week, they're like, hey, have a nice holiday season. Be safe. What they're really saying is have a nice holiday season. Don't put up any Christmas decorations. Because if I put up Christmas decorations, I'm not being fucking safe. Non-Christmas decor, really ever, but specifically not before Thanksgiving. Bah humbug.
You have a Christmas tree in the background of your video chat here with us. I can see it. It's fully decorated. The lights are on.
I'm not fucking happy about it, John. My wife made me do it, okay? I could have gotten injured.
You are a hypocrite.
She must have had on blue pants that day.
Gunther has made comments about my wife's ass in these blue pants before, and it really makes me uncomfortable, but I can't do anything about it. He just keeps doing it, so fuck.
What if her sister or your sister-in-law put them on?
It's a very similar ass. Very similar ass. All right, let's move on. Give me or nah. give me or nah to Christmas caroling. Give me or nah Christmas caroling. Morgan, I want to get to you first. What are you thinking?
Well, I love to bathe in the joy of a strong Christmas carol. And it doesn't have to be sung well. Just a hearty group of folks strolling through the neighborhood and delivering their rendition of cheer upon some loathsome, heartless Grinch of a soul and changing their day.
So,
gimme.
Morgan, if you had to pick your favorite caroling song, what would it be?
Well, I like to make up my own Christmas carol, so I kind of do it as I go, and I don't know what's going to come out. I just know I usually go alone myself because my voice doesn't always fit well with a group. And so I'll arrive at your door and we'll talk about Jesus in a lilting tone, similar to song.
Jesus Christ, John, where are you at on this?
What the hell, Morgan?
Loathsome Grinch of a soul here. I'm not on Christmas caroling. There are probably things I want to do less than go out and sing Silent Night at strangers' houses, but the list is so long I can't recite it now. We're going to go 3 hours long here. But if they come to my house, I have to keep my door open, right? So they can sing to me. And I gotta let all the warm air out of my house while they sing the entirety of Little Drummer Boy. Nah, dude. Like, my cat could run out leaving the door open like that. So no.
Well, you are a loathsome soul, and I'd just say I'm already firing up the figgy pudding.
Gunther, what are you doing here? What are you doing here?
You know, I'll probably get involved in some caroling. You know, if I see a group pass, definitely gonna try and join them and march alongside. Kind of get in good with the group until I become the leader, and then I'll use that group for other motives, other things. Oh, so,
Jesus,
yeah. Absolutely.
I'm sorry. Wait, your priority here is to infiltrate the Christmas caroling group and then make them sweatshop workers in your new t-shirt business.
Let's not get specific, but infiltrate and then lead. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You wouldn't give out your playbook to the other team, John. So Jesus Christ, I mean, okay. Let him do his thing over there. I do want to just throw this out there. Gunther, one time we were at work and he's like, I'm going to do Christmas caroling. I was like, there's no fucking way you're going to do Christmas caroling. Invites me over. We went fucking Christmas caroling with a group of like 12 to 15 people, mostly Gunther's family.
15.
12 to 15.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. It's quite a range. And I got to tell you, so I'm personally a little bit of a pot stirrer. I like to bring up things that I know people don't want me to bring up just to kind of see what happens. I'm kind of an asshole, and I love watching those awkward moments. Nobody wants to see Christmas. And that's why I loved it. The look of people's faces when they answer the door and see you, don't know what to do. And you know what, John? It's exactly what you just described. They start hearing you start Little Drummer Boy, and all they want to do is close the door. But that's the one thing that they can't do, because then you're just the fucking worst person ever. So you got to listen to a whole rendition. I remember Gunther specifically, we went to a house with a couple that had clearly been fighting. In fact, I think as we approached the door, we heard them yelling at each other from the other end. There is nothing breaking up a couple's fight with the Little Drummer Boy rendition that they have to sit through together.
I definitely think that couple, I remember it now, just kind of staring through the drunken haze that was that evening. They,
very true.
I think they bonded over their mutual hatred of our group.
Yeah, well, that's what we told ourselves. We actually told ourselves that we saved them from divorce in that moment.
No, delayed. Delayed.
Delayed. Gimme Christmas caroling for me.
If you come into my house singing Little Drummer Boy, I'm going to pum-pum-pum you in the face.
Well said. By the way, oddly enough, I had written down, like, you know, during our pre-notes while I was trying to think about what I was going to say, I wrote down Little Drummer Boy is the song I was going to reference. And then I noticed, John, you did too. And I didn't have a backup fucking plan.
You didn't have a single other Christmas song you could go to. You could think of Silent Night.
All I had was
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, nothing.
Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
That's not a Christmas song.
No, that's
it, not. Yes, it is. It's neutral. You can use it for any holiday.
I think it's a nursery.
Is it not how the wise men found Jesus?
I think it's actually an Underground Railroad song.
Huh. Black people stole it. All right. Next one.
We'll let him have that one.
I get that one. All right. This is the fucking last one. Yeah. Last one. Social media's primary function is stalking. Gimme or nah. Morgan, what do you think here?
Well, I like to believe that people have other intentions, but I know they don't. I do think it's a way to learn about people, and, you know, you might say, well, you can only learn as much as they offer and as much content as they're willing to post, but I do think it's a form of stalking and very unhealthy.
Okay. All right. I like that, Morgan. Well said. John, what about you?
Gimme. Love using it for stalking. My favorite thing to do is when I see like a non-famous person all of a sudden become famous, like really quickly and immediately and got like, blows up out of nowhere. Then I just go to their Instagram or their Twitter and I go back about 5 years to see who they really are, see the racist shit they used to put out or whatever. Right. That was when they were the real stuff.
That's a good point.
And then I screen cap it and I save it. And I don't do anything with it because I don't want to blackmail. But I do like doing that.
It is interesting. I remember that often happens in sports because, like, these guys, I see it a lot in baseball because baseball, you pretty much are unknown until you become awesome. And that can happen very quickly. But I remember watching the All-Star game and there was some guy on the Brewers that came in the game. And by the end of the All-Star game, he had six racist tweets that were
They found inwards from like a decade ago when he was in high
school. He was just ruined. He had to apologize to teammates and shit. And it was just fucking guys like you. Good job, John.
Like a golf snitch, one of those people that are watching golf on the TV and picks up the phone. I found a little cheat there.
Yeah,
right? They have golf snitches, right?
He moved a piece of grass when he should have. Give him a penalty. Gunter, what are you doing?
I think I've kind of lost track of the question. Oh yeah, do I think that's its primary main purpose?
Yes.
To me, its primary purpose is just a bunch of self whatever promotion and just a way. It's just a lie factory, right? That's all it is. Yep. Here's the fake me.
As someone that's going to leverage Twitter to promote your business. Do you want to talk up Twitter or social media?
I can edit that out, Gunther.
No. I don't think to me Twitter's not in that category.
Oh, Twitter, not social media. Hot take from Gunther.
Literally the only person ever that I've ever heard say that.
I didn't say it wasn't social media. I said it's not in the same category with the others.
Okay.
Fair enough. All right. So, I'm obviously gimme on this. It's definitely its primary function. You're either a social media stalker or you're a fucking liar. Those are basically the two things that you can be. Also, PSA for the ladies out here. Let's just get this out of the way. I'll make a creepy comment, but on behalf of all the guys, just organize your bikini photos into like an album so we don't have to scroll through all the shitty pics of your kids and your husband and all that stuff. Right. Like, we just want to get to that album with the bikini photos. So just kind of figure it out and get it done. Am I right?
Entitle it something that's indicative of what's inside of it, like, I don't know, Slut Factory or Two Pieces or something like that.
It is always interesting. Oh, at the beach with the fam. Well, why are all the pictures of you? But that's fine with me. I have no issues with it.
We call those thirst traps.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not really familiar with all the terms yet, so.
Yeah, you will. You're going to run a Twitter business. Fellas, hey, I had a lot of fun. Gunther, thanks for joining. Morgan, thanks for joining. Last thing I'll leave with before we're out of here, I was playing a video game yesterday, NBA 2K21. Doris Burke, who's a famous announcer, her avatar in 2K21 can get it. Absolute smoke show. Go look up Doris Burke. 2021 or 2K21 NBA video game. She's fucking hot. Check it out. Rate.
Very subscribe. Aggressive. Very aggressive with that take. Googling now. Okay.
rate, subscribe, review.
Just don't do what I do when I tried to do it and have sex with it, because that's a good way to get electrocuted.
Interesting.
See you.